Yes, it's that time of the week, and we're joined by the lovely Dennis Stewart, who has recently celebrated a birthday. So happy birthday, Dennis.
That's very nice of you, Amanda. Very nice indeed. I relish birthdays, as you can imagine. But thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're looking great, and as we were saying, we love the vest that you got for your birthday.
Well, this was made by my dear wife, who has made or knitted vests and jumpers or cardigans for me ever since we met over 60 years ago. And this lovely vest that she knitted for me, I'm wearing today in honour of her, her love to me. 61 years of marriage, and she makes better vests than she's ever made.
It's a beautiful vest.
It is indeed,
it
isn't
does
it?
Well. And as Mark said, it's a nice colour and you could go and play cricket.
It is indeed. Well, that's a good point. Could be the next step in my career.
That's right.
I wouldn't have much to compete against.
Maybe you could be an umpire.
Probably.
Now, Dennis, for the last couple of weeks, you've been discussing herbs that may be useful for women's conditions, and you dealt with sage tea for menopause, hot flushes and perspiration.
Yes.
Today you want to talk more on this topic, and to start you want to discuss the benefits of evening primrose oil for a common painful condition that women experience, breast pain.
Yes, and when we're talking on this topic, the first thing that one has to say is that, and I direct it to all women, any breast condition needs to be thoroughly investigated, because very frequently something that's let go as being insignificant, even a twinge or a bit of pain or a small lump, even that can turn into something quite nasty. So even though we're talking here today about a common condition, very common, we're talking about basically a condition known as mastalgia, or painful breasts, which many women experience. Many women refer to as a lumpy breast condition, and that is a condition that is very common. It tends to be worse for many women before the period, but again, it's a benign condition. But having said that, any condition associated with the breast, let me emphasise, please, my dear lady friends, get it looked at by your GP to make sure that it is only a functional condition, that it is not related to anything of a medical nature, because what I'm talking about today are some simple self-help measures that can be used safely by a woman to handle some of the most common conditions which occur very regularly, particularly to do with the period, or also to do with breastfeeding. So I've prefaced my comments there to put it in perspective for those that might raise their eyebrow at my talking about conditions associated with the breast that involve pain. But I know a bit about this, and I know that the things I'm going to talk about are things that many women already utilise. They're safe, they can be utilised. Having said that, any breast condition needs to be monitored ongoingly by at least your GP, if not a specialist if required.
Well, it's a good time to talk about it, because next month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
That's exactly right.
As someone who's been through it, I highly recommend early detection. So
absolutely,
check your breasts, everybody.
And
even
men.
Men can still get breast cancer as well. So
of course.
Definitely.
And I'm glad you've mentioned that, because my dear wife went through the same process that you've gone through, and that's why I emphasise to all women, don't neglect anything that worries you, get it looked at first. The conditions I'm talking about are common conditions, well known, frequently experienced by women, usually of a benign nature, which respond to simple self-help measures, inexpensive and very safe.
And we've got Bernadette from Berry Park on the line. Hi, Bernadette. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Dennis, I suffer with atopic dermatitis.
Yes, yes.
And I've used every steroid cream known to man.
Yes, dear.
And it, at this point in time, currently at the moment, I'm dealing with a very large outbreak all over my body.
Okay.
I've tried some Manuka honey products, which have given me a little bit of relief. I've now had to go back to the doctors and get some prednisone to stop this flare up, because it's just driving me insane.
Yes, yes.
Is there anything else I can take naturally that would help?
Look, I know a little bit about atopic dermatitis. Are you all also asthmatic?
Yes.
Yes. Atopic conditions, as you would know, tend to embrace inflammatory skin diseases such as eczema and dermatitis.
Yes.
They also incorporate asthma, and sometimes they also involve rhinitis, a trilogy of conditions
right.
that go a lot to way, a way to explaining the sort of immune response your system has. I know a lot
right.
about it because, to an extent, that condition got me into this profession many, many
uh-huh.
years ago. I will offer you a few hints. I'm not going to go into the problem in extreme detail because we'd have to spend the whole program on it. But I'll
yes.
give you a few things. And look, I'm glad that you are retreating to your GP to get some oral steroid, because
uh-huh.
if you are in an acute condition, as you obviously are,
uh-huh.
the way to break through it, as far as I'm concerned, is to go down the medical pathway. Thank God for steroid.
Uh-huh.
Steroid's only a problem, let me say this to listeners, steroid, that is cortisone, prednisone, those sorts of things, are only a problem when they are utilised indiscreetly and for too long and
yeah.
usually in incorrect dosages. But for an acute condition, they are required frequently to in a life-saving way. So I'm glad you've done that. But then
okay.
what you need to do is perhaps a few things that you may not have done up to this point. Now,
mm-hmm.
very shortly in the program, I'll be talking about oral use of evening primrose oil. Now, evening primrose oil, you can Google it and find what I say, has fairly significant support. Evening primrose oil contains a bracket of substances
right.
known as essential fatty acids, EFAs.
Right.
Now, they are a condition, that is a chemistry in many oils, but particularly in primrose oil, which
yes.
functions as a supplement for the need of a body that may not be producing or utilising a significant
yes.
amount of these substances in the diet. So
right.
I have demonstrated over many years that in many cases, elevated dosages of capsules of oil of evening primrose, very
mm-hmm.
safe, very safe. The clue here is if you're going to use the preparation, you use it as an attempt to lessen the outbreak of future events,
yeah.
and you
yeah.
must take it in an elevated dose. When I talk
yeah.
about people, when I mention oil of evening primrose to them, they say, oh, yes, but I've used that before and it hasn't worked. Very
yeah.
frequently it hasn't worked because, A, they haven't taken it long enough, and, B, they have taken it in a dose that's far, far too low. For an adult, I would suggest a starting dose, and because it's safe, I'm quite happy to talk about levels of dosage. A starting dose would, to my way of thinking, be 1,000 milligrams. That's one capsule. They're usually 1,000 milligrams. 1,000
right.
milligrams three times daily.
Right.
That is a good start, and looking upon it as something that may lessen the tendency to have future serious breakouts, principle
yep.
number one.
Yep.
The second thing is you need to look at other topical applications that might be able to function outside of using steroid topicals. I'm not
yeah.
I'm not a great fan of using honey ointment. The honey ointment's good, but usually for infections and ulcers, not so much for inflammatory skin disease. What I would suggest you do, and I'm quite happy to give you one of these preparations free of charge, you should try what I call the GA cream.
Yeah.
Now, I have mentioned that. GA means glycoretinic acid. I know that sounds a very awesome word, but
yeah.
Basically it is the active chemical constituent found in crude licorice. It is what makes licorice so useful in many conditions that are inflammatory. So the
right.
glycoretinic acid has long been known, even in an older system of dermatology, as being a useful preparation to use for the subacute breakouts of eczema or dermatitis. Now,
right.
There is adequate information in some of the older dermatological information. I've actually used it in my lectures on the skin to postgraduate students, and there are formulations in some of the older editions of medical texts that go back to around the time of the Second World War or just after. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be appreciated or used today in dermatology. That's my opinion, probably because the use of steroid has overwhelmed other substances that were previously used and used successfully. So what I want you to do when I finish the program is, or this call, is talk to the receptionist at the desk, get her to give you your name, et cetera, and address, and I'll make sure my staff sends you, free of charge, a jar of my GA cream, which has been made for my lifelong friend, a dear pharmacist that studied under me, who was happy to make up this preparation for me. There are two things. Now, the herb that you should use to start with, and use it as a tea, even though you can purchase it from a herbalist or an osteopath or a chiropractor or even a compounding pharmacist, is the herb known as heart's ease. Heart's ease. It's the most favourite remedy used in Europe and is well written up in the excellent work by the late German medical practitioner and herbalist, Dr. Rudolf Weiss. Heart's ease as a herbal tea. You may be able to get it from health food stores. There are brands, German brands, available, I do know. Taking it as a herbal tea would give you a useful oral medicinal preparation of a very safe herb known as heart's ease. There are three things that I think you can occupy yourself with, very safe and used after you've cleared up your condition with the steroid medication you're going to get. This could be a way of breaking through.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, Bernadette. I'll put you on hold for Sally.
Thank you.
And we've got Margot from Summerland Point on the line. Thanks for holding, Margot. How can we help you?
I just wanted to ask Dennis about spinal stenosis.
Yes.
And it was down in my lower back. I've had it for over 12 months.
Yes.
And now it's right up the top, and I'm getting these hot flushes in my head. And they're like, my face goes all red, and probably three or four times a day.
Dear, dear. Now, Margot, obviously you would be under medical management for this.
Yeah, that's correct.
And what medication are you taking?
Nothing.
Okay. What has been recommended to you?
Dennis, I can't think. They're heavy, heavy drugs that I can't take. So I stopped taking them. I can't think.
Okay.
So I'm just taking Panadol or something.
Yes.
But they're not doing anything, nothing.
Okay. Look, it's not an easy condition to manage, as you probably have found out, and it's very painful.
Very painful.
I'm a little bit intrigued about this flushing or this heat that you're experiencing. That tends to imply some inflammatory activity. Has your GP suggested that you use perhaps an anti-inflammatory medication to address this?
I won't be seeing him till Tuesday, so I'll mention that to Ian.
When I immediately hear of heat and flushing or redness
in the head.
Pain manages to work itself into the most unusual of areas, but I would be at least raising that point with him. Have you had any physical therapy along the way?
Nothing.
Okay. How long have you been battling with it?
Over 12 months. And now, I'm so nervous.
That's
now, I'm getting incontinence.
Yes. Yes.
So that's
Have you had any orthopedic opinion?
Nothing.
Do you think you should pursue it along those lines?
I don't know. Maybe too. I don't know whether it was too old. I don't know. I just don't know what to do.
My dear, don't bring age into it. If you're uncomfortable, you must pursue it. I'm a little bit surprised that you are struggling so much with this. My suggestion would be, A, talk to the GP about perhaps a stronger medication with anti-inflammatory characteristics. Talk also to your GP about seeking an orthopaedic opinion on management. And thirdly, what I will do for you, I have a product called Glucosaplex, which is used for degenerative conditions of the spine and other joint structures. I'm not making any promises, but I'll happily get my staff to forward you some of the Glucosaplex. I make no promises, but it has helped many people with degenerative disc disease. So it might be of use. It certainly will not clash with anything you're doing. It might take the edge off it. So there are three things that I would pursue for this wretched condition. I would go down the pathway of a meeting with your GP, talk to him about the odd discomfort that you're experiencing and my suggestion that it might have some inflammatory characteristics that might be better managed with stronger medication of an anti-inflammatory nature. Ask if it warrants a meeting with an orthopaedic chap to get an opinion as to treatment and ongoing management. And thirdly, when you get the Glucosaplex preparation, give that a run and see what it does.
Okay. I appreciate that so much, Dennis.
Well, it's
a start. I listen to you every week.
Well, it's a start. And look, my dear, it's a difficult condition for you, but see how you go with it.
Other than that, I'm good. I'm as good as gold, you know.
I can see that. Well, look, keep yourself focused.
Yeah.
Don't toss in the towel.
I've really tried, but anyway.
And say a little prayer now and then.
I do.
All the best with that, Margot. Good luck. Thank you. And we've got Wendy on the line from Mannering Park. Hi, Wendy. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm just ringing up asking a question about gluteal tendinopathy.
Tendinopathy?
Pardon?
Tendinopathy.
Tendinopathy. Yes, thank you, Dennis. How are you?
I'm very well, Wendy. Tell me about your... It's to do with your condition?
It's my right hip.
Yes.
Just of the last 4 to 6 months, just pain through the night, progressively gets worse, wakes me up. I am a side sleeper, but I swap sides and the pain just throbs at times.
Yes.
There's a wonder drug online called Provitalize, but I'm reluctant to buy anything online.
Yes, be cautious. Be cautious. Yes.
And I'm just curious if you have any idea of anything you can do to help.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
How long have you been battling with it?
Probably 6 months.
Okay.
I'd say.
What do you think triggered it?
I'm not real sure. I just started to get the pain in the hip of an evening.
Okay.
I'm still quite active.
Okay.
I still work.
Okay.
Have
you had it medically assessed?
No.
Beg your pardon?
No, I have not, no.
Okay. Look, as a start, there's always something you can do for this sort of condition. So I'll go through a process that I think you should initiate before you do much else. I think what you need to do is have a meeting with your doctor and get an accurate interpretation of what's actually happening, because you're experiencing what you've named there as a possibility, but you really need to know what the nature of the damage is or if this is exactly what you're experiencing, and you need to get clarification of what's going on. You have heard me on this program say that I have great regard for the work our GPs do. I consider them as the overworked people in our society. Have a yarn with your GP. Get it clarified as to what it is. Immediately, what comes into my mind is perhaps the consideration of some medical acupuncture. I was the first to practice acupuncture in Newcastle going back to the 1970s. So I know that it has benefit in some of these muscular and skeletal conditions. If you can locate a doctor that practices it, and I know there are some, It might be worthwhile having medical acupuncture. Not that I'm disputing the benefits of persons that aren't medical who practice it. I practiced it myself many years ago, and I'm not a doctor. But think about having a course of acupuncture. It is still underappreciated. And what I found was that it responded best when there were muscular and skeletal problems. I questioned some of the use of acupuncture today in treating conditions, really, which just don't make sense. But for this, get that done. Also consider, and I'm sure your doctor would not dispute this, also consider seeing an osteopath or a chiropractor. But I would suggest an osteopath here. Not that I have no regard for my chiropractic friends, but my understanding is that osteopathy uses somewhat different techniques, and I know a very good osteopath, a couple of them actually. I'd suggest that as a secondary way of doing it. And thirdly, don't overlook the benefit of a course of ongoing therapeutic massage. I would go down the pathway of that. Your doctor may in fact suggest a steroid injection, which I would not be opposed to. I did a lecture tour around Australia on one occasion because my GP challenged me to have a steroid injection, and I can remember saying to him, give it to me, I've got a lot at stake. So I had the steroid injection.
All right.
So they're that's the way that I would go. Don't go spending a lot of money on things, particularly on the net, most of it coming out of the US where you can say anything.
I haven't bought them. I bought magnesium and turmeric.
Yeah. Well, they're useful, but I think what you're experiencing needs to be clarified. Do what I've said, beeline to your GP, get clarification, see if it warrants any specialist treatment, and then discuss the possibility of some medical acupuncture, some osteopathy, or some therapeutic massage.
Okay, interesting. I will go down those lines. I'll speak to my GP.
I think you should. Okay.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Thanks for your call.
Good.
And we have Belinda from Greta on the line. And Belinda, you want to talk about osteoarthritis.
Yeah, it's Linda.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Belinda.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I've got osteoarthritis in my right knee from a work injury way back in the 90s.
Yes, yes.
And I went to see an orthopaedic surgeon about 2.5 years ago. He told me my left middle compartment were no good. The right compartment was still okay. I'm looking at probably a knee replacement in 3 to 8 years. Mm. So he suggested I have steroid injections, which I started having. Mm. And then I swapped over to the Euflexar, which is every 6 months. But when I went to my doctor recently to get a referral to get it again, she said, oh, no, they're saying that it actually makes it worse.
that's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, you can't really make it much worse. It just sort of quickens it. But my question is, like, the chemist gave me some Panadol Osteo to take, and I was prescribed Meloxicam.
Yes, Mobic,
But it's not something I want to really be taking for the next
Number of years.
And she doesn't seem to want it. Like, she did tell me the other day when I was there that when I said, look, is there something else I can do? She said, oh, I'll do another X-ray in 3 months and see what's happening. But I didn't know whether there was something else I could try. That I do use the Voltaren Osteogel, which does
that's
help.
Okay. That's good.
Look, I didn't know if there was something else.
Well, I think... Look, you've got a long wait, haven't you, before this thing goes under the knife. What I would be suggesting, and it's only a suggestion, because it is an osteoarthritis and you're still mobile, albeit with considerable discomfort, I would suggest some simple things that are inexpensive. I am a fan, as you would imagine, of the use of the glucosamine and chondroitin in combination. Not everyone responds well to that combination of natural substances.
So
but
it was glucosamine
and chondroitin. They're the two substances that have, if you like, created a revolution in the modern natural medicine attempt to treat these degenerative, bony, muscular-type conditions. And I developed a product called Glucosaplex based on this. They're the two leading remedies, and there are numerous products in the marketplace that are based on that. I augmented that combination by bringing in the New Zealand green lip mussel and some bioflavonoids. What I'm going to suggest is that you see your pharmacist. He would you have a good pharmacist there in Greta.
Yes.
Have a yarn with him. Our pharmacists these days are very, very with it, if you like, as far as functioning as good healthcare practitioners. And I have great confidence in them. I've taught so many of them over the years. Have a yarn with your pharmacist about getting a preparation that incorporates glucosamine and chondroitin in the right dosage, and he would know what I mean by that. But also, while you are there, purchase separately, it's not expensive, a preparation of the New Zealand green lip mussel. Now, I'm not as going over the top here when I say that it was the New Zealand green lip mussel that really made the initial reputation for using natural substances for managing very seriously compromised joint problems. And that was done in Scotland by a Scottish doctor who used the New Zealand green lip mussel to treat a completely ankylosed hip joint with complete restoration of the joint. That was written up subsequently in the British Medical Journal. I would suggest that if you're not doing anything else, go and have a yarn with him, glucosamine and chondroitin in the right dosage, and use the New Zealand green lip mussel in the right dosage, and don't expect an overnight result. In the meantime, use what you're using, a bit of Panadol ongoingly. I'm a fan of Panadol when it's required. Use some of that as required. But if the glucosamine chondroitin and the New Zealand green lip mussel are going to do anything for you, you should have some indication of benefit within 3 months.
Okay.
Now, anything less than that is not being fair to the way these substances work. They're not traditional anti-inflammatory or analgesic substances. They work more on a supportive and regenerative way. And despite the cynicism out there, I have worked with these substances very, very many years, and it would take a lot to convince me that they don't work. That would be my suggestion to you. You're doing the right thing when you're working with the Voltaren topical. There are other preparations that work along similar lines. You're doing well there. Outside of that, I think just go down this pathway, discuss it with your GP. I'm a bit surprised that the GPs aren't recommending these things more frequently. What I mean, people are prepared to pay. They're not entirely dependent upon the government-sponsored system, just as well, because it's going to break down shortly. So try that and see how you go.
Yeah, I've lost weight recently too. I've lost about 18 kilos. Yeah. So I know that helps it as well.
It does a bit. It does a bit. Yep. It's not the solution to everything, but it's a good start.
Yep. Okay, well, thank you very much.
See how you go. Get back on the program down the track and let us know how you've gone with it, Linda.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda. Appreciate your call. Mm.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're almost out of time, Dennis.
Oh, what a pity.
And we haven't even got into the crux of the women's problems. Well, so we're going to solve problems for the women of the world.
We will battle on. I want to explain to women in particular how the regular use of the right dosage of evening primrose oil can lessen what's called a lumpy breast pain or discomfort. Mastalgia is the technical term, a condition that's very, very popular, used as an ongoing supplement. I have patients that swear by the benefits of oil of evening primrose taken orally as a way of alleviating that distress that they experience ongoingly, which is usually worse before the period. I'll talk a bit more about it next week. Oil of evening primrose is a great remedy. It's useful, as I said earlier, to deal with skin conditions, but it has many other possibilities that we're only now starting to learn about.
Well, we look forward to hearing all about it next
week.
That's right. Thank you very much, Dennis. We'll catch up with you then.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.